The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Glad you're with us on a gorgeous Wednesday afternoon, post-election day. We've got a lot of analysis for you. One of the races that's still up for grabs is in Washington's 3rd Congressional District. Joe Kent, the Republican, he's trailing by 11,000 votes, but the New York Times says he's still a favorite to pick up those votes and to narrowly win that race. We will talk with Joe Kent exclusively coming up right after the news at the bottom of the hour. Brock Huard will drop by. But we got a lot of stuff to get to, and we're going to have a lot of news throughout the afternoon as we are likely to get some vote counts from some of the races that are still up in the air. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
Had a few people text me last night as we were doing our election coverage, because it was pretty early in the evening. It was apparent that this was not going to be a red tsunami. And as the evening went on, it looked like, this might not be a red wave. And now, if there's anything red, it's just going to be a little tide coming in. Just a tiny, tiny bit. It looks like the Republicans may win the House. They still have a shot at the Senate. We'll go through all those numbers with you. But I had a couple of people who texted me and said, how are you doing? And I've talked about this so many times. I'm fine. I wasn't happy, deliriously happy, when Donald Trump won in 2016. I wasn't crushed when Joe Biden won in 2020. And I'll tell you again the reason why. I would be a foolish person if I allowed the votes of other people to determine my personal, individual happiness or sadness. And that's not the way I live my life. Now, you know, if you're a longtime listener to the show, that my view of life is through the prism of how my life has been lived. And I have an incredibly happy life. And so the things that I support are consistent with what I think has made me happy. And that's to try to be as self-sufficient as possible, try not to be dependent on government, and certainly not to assign my happiness to outside forces that I have no control over. I was watching, you know, 2016. When it was apparent that Donald Trump was winning. And on MSNBC, anchors were crying on the air. Last night, I watched Fox News, and they had one panelist, a Republican commentator on the panel, and he looked like he was fighting back tears last night because it wasn't a red wave. You got to control what you can control. And that was my main message when I was a coach. I'm going into coach mode today. Because I've seen so many people who are, you know, outrageously distraught or happy because of what happened. You got to control what you can control. Don't let what the refs do affect you. You don't have any control over that. You do what you do. And that's the way I continue to live my life, and that's the way I continue to arrive at perspectives that I share with you on this radio show. I don't like people who twist in the wind. I don't like people. It's not that I don't like people. I don't like the attitude of twisting in the wind, of sticking your finger in there, see which way the wind is blowing, and then, okay, I'll go that direction too, which too many people do in life, certainly in media, because they think, oh, people will like me better if I just support what everybody else is supporting. And that's not the case with how I view life. Certainly my life, my show, my perspective on the world. So I've still got a wife I'm madly in love with after 35 years of marriage. I got 3 daughters that I love. And my dog Buddy still seems to love me as of this morning. So why would I wake up down by what happened last night? Now, let's talk about what happened last night. Because people have said that this is a repudiation of Donald Trump. in the Republican Party, that his handpicked candidates like Mehmet Oz didn't do very well. Joe Kent, who we're going to talk to, I'll talk to Joe Kent about all of this coming up at 12:30 this afternoon. But what I don't, there's a lot of stuff I don't understand about this election. And I'll start here in Washington, where we do have a record murder pace, or a 40-year high murder pace in our state. But well beyond that, we have crime at record highs. We lead the nation in automobile thefts, in catalytic converter thefts, in personal property thefts, car break-ins, home break-ins. We lead the nation. I don't understand why people would want the status quo. A kid was murdered at Ingram High School yesterday. It seems to be an extension of the gang violence that has gripped this city as we allow drugs to flow freely throughout this city and this state. We have more black and brown young men and children dying than ever before because of policies that have been pushed by black and brown Democrat politicians like Jesse Johnson. I don't understand why people wanted to go with the status quo. We spend billions of dollars on homelessness only to see the problem get worse. We are spending more money on gas with another 46 cent a gallon gas hike coming on January 1st, thanks to Jay Inslee. I don't know why people who are having trouble making ends meet want to continue down that financial road. We've got I'm convinced we have a horrible recession coming in this nation. Facebook just laid off 11,000 people today, their parent company, Meta, 13% of their workforce. Redfin, based in Seattle, just laid off 1,100 people, or 800 people, but 13% of their workforce. I mean, we're seeing, you want to talk about a tsunami that's coming, forget about the election last night. We've got an economic reckoning that's coming in this nation. But here's what I've figured out after looking at the vote last night. There are more and more people in this country, and unfortunately, it's our younger people, because we're starting to see how the vote was breaking last night, who are more comfortable having government control their lives and control their personal finances, their individual freedoms. More and more people are uncomfortable taking control of their own life, of living a sovereign life, living a life where freedom is the highest pursuit. We have more people than ever who want, I mean, look at what we did 2 years ago, where voters in King County said, yeah, we don't want to vote for the sheriff anymore. We'll let Dow Constantine just pick the sheriff and it'll become another political office. So what does that mean? It means that Patty Cole Tindall, the sheriff in King County, she can never say or do anything that the Democrat Party machine doesn't want her to say or do. She has no freedom as a sheriff. She's the only appointed sheriff in the United States, or in Washington State. 39 counties, 38 of them have elected sheriffs. But the people of King County say, oh, we don't want that responsibility. People of this region have become increasingly helpless. They want to be just wards of the state, and they'll go wherever they're directed to go. They tell you to not go to church, well, we won't go to church. Tell you to wear a mask, we'll wear a mask. Two masks, two masks. People are comfortable letting government control their lives. I find that sad. Now, what happened last night, especially here locally, is not a surprise to me. And if I was just saying that today, it would sound like sour grapes or Wednesday morning quarterbacking. Let me get to the next part of our big lead.
The big lead. I told you so.
I'm going to take you back to August 18th of this year. So we're talking about 3 months ago, almost. And it became apparent to me that the Republican Party in the state had no fight in them at all. They had no cohesive message. You know, so what I just was talking about was I don't know why people want status quo. And status quo was the Democrats. Well, a huge part of it was a Republican Party in this state that is just spinning in circles. I have no idea what their priorities are. I have no idea what their goals were. And they weren't able to galvanize any kind of a message or any kind of a strong vote in last night's election. Now, again, this is not me making this up the day after an election that went horrible for the Republicans. I'm going to play for you. This is an audio clip from this radio show, August 18th of this year, when I realized that the Republicans in this state just had absolutely zero fight. This is from 3 months ago. Record murder rate. Killers of 14-year-old girls are going to get out of prison. Rapists of women are going to get out of prison, all because of the Democrats. And I don't hear anything about this from the Republican side.
We need to restore balance, and we need to have some checks and balances. Jay Inslee's had emergency powers for nine.
Nobody cares. I care because he's drunk with power. But that's not how you win. And that's why they went into the midterms or into the primary a week or two ago with all these, maybe we'll take back either the House or the Senate. Now they admit, we did horrible compared to our expectations and compared to what's happening nationally. Well, yeah, that's because people want somebody who's got some fight in them. If you believe something, talk about this guy down in Vancouver. Talk about the guy who murdered the 14-year-old girl. Name the 8 senators like I've been doing on a regular basis. Cutter and Doss and Marco Elias and Saldana and Claire Wilson, all the others. I don't even have a list in front of you. I have it memorized because I find them all so repulsive for letting the murderer of a 14-year-old girl get out of prison early. Okay, so that was from 3 months ago when I saw that the Republicans had no message in this state. And I'm going to play you a couple clips from that monologue here, because if you don't have fight in you, the Democrats, one thing you got to give them credit for, they got a ton of fight and they'll fight to the bitter finish. And I just did not see that from the other side, especially in our state. There's no fight. And I don't understand that. You know why this radio show gets the highest ratings in the United States? Because I got so much fight in me. Even though most of the things that I support politically, socially, the candidates that I tend to support, they tend to lose around here. I don't know if you've noticed that about me, but I don't tend to go with the flow. I don't agree just for the sake of, the mob will like me better if I just agree with everything. But I got some fight in me still. I have more today than I've ever had. And I look at this Republican Party and I think, where's your fight? Okay, that was August 18th. Last night, Dave Ross, when we were doing the coverage, he said, why do you stay here? And I find that an offensive question. I was born here, I was raised here, I raised my family here, I chose to make my home here, my daughters live here. Why would I leave? I'd rather stay and fight for what I believe in than run like some little coward. And sadly, a lot of people have decided to just go to states that better align with their ideology. And that's fine if you do that too. But, I always have these listeners. You don't like it here. Why don't you just leave? So that's how much you hate dissenting voices. And I know that, I'm told my radio show is very controversial. But it's controversial because I'm a dissenting voice. And I stand firm. I don't let the mob tell me what to think and how to think. And then also, another clip from August 18th, where I called out the Republicans for the kind of candidates that they put forth. And I talk about Tiffany Smiley here. My position on her evolved over the last 3 months, but here's what I said August 18th. But the Republicans, they don't have any strategy at all in this state. We have the highest murder rate in our state's history. Violent crime is at a record pace, especially in King County, where the Democrats control everything. And what do the Republicans do? Lauren Culp and Tiffany Smiley? Is that really it? Is that how you're going to restore balance in this state? And I did evolve. I think Tiffany Smiley evolved into a strong candidate at the end, but she was not in August. And that's when some of these races are decided. It is really tough for a political newcomer to jump in at the United States Senator level. And it took Tiffany Smiley a lot of time to find her feet. I told her this a few weeks ago, and she came on with us yesterday, too. And I ended up liking her a lot, and I think she evolved as much as possible as a first-time politician. But that's a tough place to jump in. And, you know, Lauren Culp, and then people say, didn't you vote for Lauren Culp? I would have voted for a potted plant running against Jay Inslee. But he was a weak kid. Lauren Culp hated me by the end of that campaign because I called him out on so much stuff. And so yeah, I think that the Republicans have put forth weak candidates, candidates who didn't have a realistic chance. I have no idea what their message is. I certainly didn't know 3 months ago when I did that monologue. And so none of this was a real surprise to me. And I was talking to Nicole, and I said, can you find that monologue from 3 months ago? She said, well, why don't you say it again? I don't want it to sound like day after and I'm just, you know, sour grapes and I'm saying it now. I want to show people this is what I said on this radio show 3 months ago. And, of course, Nicole, being the best producer, found it. And there I have that to share with you. So that's what's going on. Do not let things out of your control dictate your personal happiness. That is no way to go through life. If there are things you believe in, fight. Fight like a pit bull. Man, not like a pit bull, because then you'll be put down. But just fight like heck for the things you believe in. If there are issues that you are disgusted with, like the gang crime that murdered a kid at Ingram High School yesterday, fight against the entrenched forces that have brought all of this about. Don't let outside forces control your happiness. But don't let it dampen your enthusiasm for your beliefs either. That's where I sit today. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We're going to check the news for you. And then a congressional race that is much closer than anybody in the local media is giving it credit for. The New York Times believes Joe Kent's going to come back when the vote dump that they're going to get a little later this afternoon. I'll talk to congressional candidate Joe Kent about that and the Trump candidates underperforming last night. Trump endorsed him. Have an honest conversation about all of this with Joe Kent right after we check the news here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, one of the most watched races in our state was down in the congressional 3rd District, where Joe Kent is taking on Marie Glusenkamp Perez. And I say it in the present tense because a lot of people have called this for the Democrat, Marie Glusenkamp Perez. She's up about 11,000 votes as of right now. But even places like the New York Times are still projecting that Joe Kent is going to win when all the votes are counted. Joe Kent joins us once again here on the Dory Monson Show. Joe, good to talk to you today.
Hey, great to be with you.
I remember we had this conversation, I believe, the day after primary election day, and everybody thought you were out of it, and then the late votes came in, and you came back over more than just one opponent. So where are you right now? What's your internal analysis showing?
So this is essentially, like you said, this is Groundhog Day from August. We were in almost exactly the same spot the day after the primary, after the initial tranche of votes came out. We were down, I think, by around 11,000 then, too. But it was a five-way split amongst Republicans. So right now it's just me versus Marie Perez. I think the vast majority of Republicans voted on game day right now. So we still believe that we have about 130,000 votes remaining to be counted. So we're optimistic if things go the way that most smart pollsters are saying. We should start pulling ahead today when they drop the next batch of ballots around four.
Okay, yeah, and the New York Times says that most of those uncounted ballots are in Clark County, where Vancouver is, and that she's gotten 52% of the Clark County vote. So you're going to have to do much better in the Clark County vote on the day of voting analysis that comes in later today then, right?
Yeah, that's right. We're feeling pretty confident about that, too. We put in a lot of work in Clark County. People tend to just think of Vancouver when they think of Clark County. But Clark County is very big, and there's a lot of rural parts, Battleground, Washougal, et cetera. So it's a big county, a lot of votes out there left to get, and I think most of our folks voted on game day.
Let's talk about the bigger picture, because there are a lot of Democrats taking an awful lot of glee today, and in particular, they say that the Donald Trump-supported candidates underperformed. You've been very welcoming of having had Donald Trump's support. He's been, he even did a big conference call for you with a bunch of your supporters several weeks ago. As you watch things happening across America last night, this expected red wave or even red tsunami, some thought, just didn't happen. So you've been in the thick of all of this. What's your analysis of what went down last night in America?
Well, here's the bottom line. We didn't get a red wave because the Republican establishment spent so much money fighting America First and fighting Trump-endorsed candidates that if you're a candidate like me, you had to endure a hard primary, which is fine, but we also had to endure a lot of money coming from the Republican establishment. I mean, I had about somewhere between $12 to $13 million spent against me in the primary alone, and I'm not the only one. There's plenty of Republicans that are like that. So the vast majority of the Trump-endorsed candidates, we hit the general with no money in the bank. Our negatives have been driven down heavily. So really, it's a case of with friends like these, the Democrats just kind of had to come in and then basically run the greatest hits of all the attacks that were already ran against us. I think any underperformance we have right now, it's due to the Republican establishment. And we don't need to listen to the PSYOP or the narrative that, hey, we just need to moderate more and go back to the Mitch McConnell establishment days.
Well, but that is definitely the narrative today, even from a lot of the Republican media or the media that is considered right of center. They are saying that this Donald Trump era, the America First era that you've embraced, that it's over in America and the Republicans have to return to more centrist. You sounds like you just absolutely disagree with that.
I disagree because I don't think we'd be having this conversation. I don't think I would have made it through the primary, and so many of us America First types would have made it even through the primaries if this wasn't a very real movement that reflected the will of the base of the real Republican Party. I'm not talking about the people that write columns for a living or the politicos. I'm talking about Republican voters. And there's also a weird assumption, too, I think, with this whole, if we just get rid of Trump, then they're going to treat us better. I mean, the hot topic is Trump versus DeSantis, but there's a weird implied assumption that somehow if we get rid of Trump, the media is going to treat DeSantis better. It's almost like battered spouse syndrome, where it's like, well, maybe if I just would have made dinner on time, he wouldn't have punched me in the face. Like, the media and the left are always going to treat us this way. Pick someone that's actually going to punch them back.
Yeah, that certainly has been the narrative ever since last night. But I think it's because the expectations were so high. And so now you have an awful lot of people in the media. And I talked about this in the first half hour of my show today, that I'm not shaken when the people that I vote for don't win, because I'm guided by my personal values. I'm guided by my morals. I'm guided by my life experience that has, created this wonderful life that I have. And I don't understand the people who get whipsawed and let their emotions be affected by other people vote. Because if you leave your happiness in the hands of other people, then you're rather helpless. That's like we're a cork in the river and we just go where the tide flows. And I just absolutely today, as much as I did yesterday, believe that we need to be guided by our values.
Hey, man, I couldn't have said it better. I mean, don't listen to what these talking heads are saying. They've been wrong about pretty much every major issue. Pick your topic. They've been wrong about it. And look, they're wrong about this, too. But we still have a chance to, you know, get out there and vote and make changes. We have a lot of work to do at the local levels. I really think Republicans, we need to spend less time. I mean, imagine if we would have taken all the money that the establishment threw at candidates like me, and they would have spent that time building up their own Perkins Coie-like law firm to actually go out there and fight in some of these places. I think Washington State, there's a lot of legal battles we need because we don't have transparency. Look at what they did down in Maricopa County. There should have been an army of lawyers ready to go. Pennsylvania, same thing. They basically woke up and said, hey, we're going to run this election a little bit differently. People can continue to vote. I mean, we should have been ready for this, but the only thing the establishment was ready for was to unleash millions and millions of dollars against America First candidates.
So then the question becomes, because Democrats in 2018, they decided that they wanted to control the secretaries of state, that they wanted to, you know, the old Stalin line. It's not who votes, it's who counts the vote. And they decided they wanted to get the secretary of states under their control and play by their set of rules. So now, do the Republicans play by this new set of rules and just say, okay, this is the way it is. These are the secretaries of state around the country. We got to find a way to win within their rules. Would that be an easier path versus we got to change the rules?
I think we need to flip secretaries of states. I mean, we need to flip secretaries of states. We need to flip state legislatures to get rid of this stupid machine voting. I mean, Washington State, I don't see why we're having this conversation where it's a, you know, it's a day out and we still don't know who won. I think we should be doing much better with counting our votes on the night of and having more transparency, quite frankly, in the process. And that's just Washington State, but then throughout the country, I think we should be trying to take over secretaries of states so that we can have as transparent of a process as possible. Because if we leave it in the hands of the Democrats, the goalposts are always going to move. They're always going to find a way because they mean, like you said, they believe in who counts the votes. That's who really matters.
Well, and it's amazing. The Senate is still up for grabs as of now, and it's the exact same states as what we saw 2 years ago in 2020. It's Arizona, it's Georgia, it's Pennsylvania. It almost was Wisconsin, again, where they didn't call that race until very deep into the night. But the exact same states that were all in flux for hours or days or weeks in 2020 are the same ones in the same position. And that tells you a lot about what's happening in these states.
Again, yeah, exactly. And you know what? It was a disgrace that caught us off guard in 2020. But we've had 2 years. And again, I keep going back to this. But what did the Republicans do? They spent millions of dollars fighting what their base clearly wanted instead of preparing for this exact scenario. So, I mean, we got to take over the local parties, the state parties, and eventually start flipping these secretaries of states and the state legislature. That's all there is to it. I mean, we the people, this has to be a grassroots movement.
Okay, a few minutes ago you said it sounded like you're already annoyed by the media's Trump versus DeSantis 24. Donald Trump, as I said, big supporter of yours. Do you think that Trump was hurt last night? And do you think he's supposed to have a big announcement next Tuesday at Mar-a-Lago? Do you think that he will and that he should announce that he's running for president?
I mean, he's basically de facto announced. I mean, just the way that he's campaigning. So I think it'd be good for him just to make it official. And I mean, was he hurt last night? I don't really think so. And at the end of the day, I mean, how many times has Donald Trump's eulogy been read? And then he keeps coming right back. So, I mean, I really wouldn't read too much into or take too much stock into what the media is saying about like, well now Trump's done because a couple of the guys he endorsed didn't make it through, you know?
Yeah, it's but if he even loses the people at Fox News, for example, then he's got another gigantic hurdle in front of him. And that gets back to what you and I were talking about a couple of minutes ago. I think there are a lot of people in the media who are guided by, okay, the public says this, so I'm going to bend my opinion to fit that instead of having a strong stand opinion on their own. But that does mean even greater uphill battle for Donald Trump.
It does, but there could be a reverse effect there. I mean, I think the more that we see people kind of cast Trump aside, especially on, you know, Fox News, for example, I think that's going to motivate the base. I really do. I mean, there's going to be some people that might buy off into the whole, like, well, if we just get rid of Trump, they'll be nicer to us. But I do think a lot of folks, the more that they attack Trump, the more his base, I think, is going to come out and support him. That's just where my gut is. When I see like all these talking heads say, okay, guys, now it's time to never listen to Trump again. That makes me want to support him twice as much. And I know I'm not alone.
Okay. So when's the next dump of votes coming from your district?
They tend to do it somewhere around between 2 and 5. So usually around 4, we've got a clearer picture because the counties kind of trickle them out slowly in the afternoon.
Okay. All right. And you remain optimistic. Like I said, the New York Times still projects that you are the favorite in that district. Nobody else in local media has been talking about that. But we'll watch that vote dump very carefully later today. And I really appreciate you coming on with me again, Joe.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
You got it. All right. Joe Kent, who is still in the running right now, 11,000 votes down, but more than 100,000 votes still be counted in Washington's 3rd District. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Where do the Republicans go for the presidential election of 24? If Donald Trump chooses to run, every indication, like I was talking about with Joe Kent, every indication is that he will. It's going to be tough, even for Ron DeSantis. And Ron DeSantis might decide to hold off for 4 years rather than tick off the Trump base. There's been an awful lot of talk that Donald Trump was furious with last night's election results, all kinds of headlines, that he was yelling at his wife Melania because she convinced him to endorse Mehmet Oz in Pennsylvania. I don't understand voters who send somebody whose brain isn't functioning well enough to be a United States senator. I will never understand that. Of course, in Pennsylvania, they elected a dead guy last night. He was a state rep, and he died a couple of months ago, but the Democrats kept him on, or 1 month ago, Democrats kept him on the ballot. Tony DeLuca, he'd had lymphoma. He was 85 years old, and he died a month ago, and he was reelected by Democrats in Pennsylvania. So they sent literally a dead guy, and then a guy whose brain was severely damaged by a stroke. They send him to the U.S. Senate. They send the dead guy to the Pennsylvania State House. I mean, I will never figure out voters like that. So which way will the Republicans go? Trump, if Trump decides to run? Last night, DeSantis, I mean, he blew away expectations. Beat a former governor of Florida, Charlie Crist, by 20 points.
Now, today is the culmination of the 2022 fall elections, but in reality, Americans have been voting for many years now. They've been voting with their feet, and the results of that behavior has been just as stark as our landslide victory today. States and cities governed by leftist politicians have seen crime skyrocket. They've seen their taxpayers abused. They've seen medical authoritarianism imposed, and they've seen American principles discarded. The woke agenda has caused millions of Americans to leave these jurisdictions for greener pastures.
I'll play more of the DeSantis a little bit later this afternoon, but I do think in Washington that a lot of people who are right of center, I know a bunch of people who have left the state, who have decided they just don't want to raise their families in a state as woke as us. Like I said in my opening monologue, I choose to stay and fight. Okay, we're going to check the news for you here at the top of the hour, and then the Fastest 15 is coming up next. Also, we're told that Joe Biden's going to speak. Yeah, we might take a little tiny bit of that, too. We'll see what he has to say. All of that straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show.